You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Well, hello there. Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome to the first episode of Series 4 of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Series 4 already. Where has the time gone? Thank you for joining me in this episode. I hope you enjoy the other cracking episodes that we've got lined up for the rest of Series 4. And also remember to check out Series 1, 2, and 3 as well. We've got plenty of content in there for you to check out as well as catching this episode. If you like this episode, please do remember to give us a like, a comment, a share, a subscribe, write a review, help share it far and wide. So let us dive in. Let's dive into this particular episode. We are talking about something which happened. First, I'm going to start off talking about something which happened in Massachusetts between February 1692 and May 1693. The town was Salem, or Salem Village, which is now known as Danvers, but it was Salem and Salem Village, and many towns beyond as well. The Salem Witch Trials. These were a series of hearings and prosecutions with, more than 200 people accused of witchcraft. Over that time, 30 of those people were, incredibly, 30 of them were found guilty of witchcraft. 19 of those were executed by hanging. 14 of those were women. 5 of them were men. At least five people died in jail. And one man, a gentleman named Giles Corey, was pressed to death, a particularly unpleasant way to go, because he refused to enter a plea. That was the Salem Witch Trials, which was one of the darkest moments of mass hysteria in the US. And it was mass hysteria. It was basically People using spite, jealousy, and a need for attention to enable them to create this mass hysteria, accusing all and sundry of being witches, when obviously they weren't witches. It had disastrous consequences. Now, the stuff we can learn from the Salem Witch Trials, I want to share with you. You may have read this on various social media platforms. It's a post that does the rounds from time to time. And I think it's a very, very interesting one. Really puts things neatly into context. It's about a powerful lesson that was apparently taught in a school class. Whether this is true or apocryphal, I don't know. I have not been able to find out. I do, however, believe that this message and story it conveys is a very powerful one. So whether this is true or whether this is just a made-up story, either way, it's the message behind it, which is the important part. Now, in this particular class in school, they were learning about those Salem witch trials that we just very briefly touched upon. The teacher said they were going to play a game. Now, the teacher said the way this was going to work was, I'm going to come round and whisper to each of you individually to let you know whether you're a witch or whether you're a regular villager. So the teacher's going to go around each person and let them know, and only them, let them know whether they were a witch or whether they were an ordinary villager. Once the teacher had done that, then they went on to explain the goal of this game is to create the largest group of people possible which does not have a witch in it. So create as big a group as you can, but make sure there are no witches in that group. At the end of the game, any group which has a witch in the group will lose the game. The winner will be the largest group which doesn't contain any witches. So that's the premise for the game. Excuse me. The teacher then allowed the game to commence. As you might expect, the children were playing very enthusiastically, and they really got into it. They were grilling each other, really inquisiting. Is that a word? It is now. Getting really inquisitive, really grilling each other to find out who was and who wasn't a witch, and to figure out who was and who wasn't lying. Over the course of the game, apparently one reasonably large group did form. However, most of the students broke into really small exclusive groups, twos or threes, really small exclusive groups, turning away anyone that they thought even had a hint of guilt about them. The teacher let the game play out until they kind of all settled into groups, and as you might imagine, although there was one reasonably large group, most of the groups were just those small groups of two or three, whatever, children, really close-knit, really tight-knit, repelling anybody else, anybody with a hint of suspicion that they thought might be a witch. By the end of the game, the teacher said, okay, you're now all in your groups. Let's find out which groups lose. The teacher then said, okay, would all of the witches, please raise your hand. All the children looked around the room, and they noticed nobody raised a hand. And they were a little bit confused by this, and one of them said to the teacher that they thought the teacher had messed up. They made some. Surely there must have been some mistake here. Did I? Said the teacher. Did I really make a mistake here? Was anyone in Salem an actual witch? No, the children agreed. No, there were no actual witches in Salem. No, there were no actual witches. Everyone just believed what they had been told, that there were witches. And so they assumed, because person A said that person B was a witch, everyone believed them and assumed they were a witch. There were no witches in Salem. And yet, several people were killed supposedly for being a witch, or killed for supposedly being a witch. And same with this game. There were no witches. And yet, such was the distrust that most of the children managed to only form small groups which they believed were pure and had no witches in them. Isn't that interesting? That just shows how easy it is to divide a community. Any community can be so easily divided. Shunning, scapegoating, dividing, distrust, whispers, gossip, it destroys far more than it ever protects. And sadly, and this is a key point, sadly, there is still so much of that going around even to this day. Even in communities, in countries, in societies, everywhere, even today, we still have this scapegoating. Goating, this othering, this dividing, this, oh, don't let them in because they're different. And it really does destroy far more than it protects. And we get attempts from all over the place to attempt to divide and conquer and destroy us. If you pause and look around in society today, you will see there are many different groups which are almost hell-bent on dividing us, splitting us out, separating us. We've got to remain united against anyone who would try and split us. I mean, the old commando motto, together we stand, divided we fall. And it's as true for all of us as it is for any of us. Now, sort of, why does this happen? Why does this happen? Well, there are various reasons it happens, and it can happen, and indeed does happen. And we're going to take a look at that in just a moment. But first, a word from our
could be featuring you. There are three different levels at which you can sponsor. We've got a bronze level, where you get to sponsor 1 month's worth of episodes of the Keith Blake Noble Radio Show. You get your advert played in this part of the show. You get mentioned in the show notes. And you also get mentioned in most of the social media promo for those episodes. Or we've got the silver level, where you get all of that. Plus, you get sponsorship of the 5-Minute Meditation podcast as well. So you get promoted in 8 lots of show notes, 8 lots of promos. And you get mentioned with a link on the sponsorship page on the website. Or there's the top one, the gold level, where you get all of that. Plus, you get a guest blog on the KeithBlakeMoreNoble.com website. Plus, we'll record a special bonus episode of the Keith Blake Noble Radio Show featuring you. 3 different levels, whichever one you want, it's up to you. Just go to KeithBlakeMoreNoble.com/show/support to find out more. And you could be our next sponsor.
There you go. A word from our sponsor. And as I say, it could be you. You could be sponsoring a month of these episodes. Who knows? Anyway, getting back to our topic about the source of division and so on that was so rife in what turned into a massive case of mass hysteria in Salem. And it's also rife in so much of society today. And it's also the cause of so many of the problems that we experience in society today. When you think about it, I mean, racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, all of these different ways in which we other people, and which we try and split people apart and try and keep people separate from our group. They're not us, they're different. A lot of it comes from the fact that basically we're tribal. We are tribal. Yes, we're more evolved now, but we are still fundamentally tribal animals, tribal creatures, tribal beings. We love to be part of a group, and there is strength and safety in that group. That's why we formed these groups way, way back in our past. That's why our ancestors formed groups, and that's why we form groups even now in society today. We form groups because, without being part of a group, there's that whole social interaction, the social dynamic there, the support for each other. You help me, I help you. We help each other. We protect each other. We can survive better together as a group. We are social animals. We're tribal. We function far better as a group. However, there is also the problem that being part of a tribe, part of a group, you also have to look out for danger. Danger for things that are separate, different, other, something that's not us, not part of the tribe. Obviously, way, way, way back in our ancestors, way back prehistoric ancestors' time, a lot of what they were defending and protecting against would have been wild animals that were attempting to eat us, for example. Also would have been against other tribes who were looking to perhaps find more fertile areas or areas with better hunting or maybe just a nicer part of the country in which to live, a nicer part of the area in which to live. Or they were expanding and they wanted to expand into other territories. So we were also fighting against these other tribes. And they may have been attempting to steal some of the members of our tribe and kill the rest of the tribe. So if anyone was other, wasn't part of our tribe, they were not to be trusted. They were to be fought, they were to be othered, they were to be eliminated before they eliminated us. Unfortunately, all that distrust of outsiders or anything that's different is really deeply ingrained in our psyche, in our way of being. Now, these days, we don't face all of those threats from so many different places. We do still have some threats, but we don't face the huge, significant existential threats that we used to have. But our unconscious mind hasn't necessarily caught up with that. Evolution of the mind takes many, many tens or hundreds or thousands of generations for it to evolve and develop. So we still have this part of our mind that's looking around for anything that's different, anything that's other, and fighting against it. Unfortunately, that bubbles up these days into things like sexism, racism. Oh, they're different. Women and men, oh, they're different. Oh, they can't do the same as we can. Othering and causes massive problems. People from who perhaps look a bit different. Maybe they have different skin color or maybe they speak with a different accent or they come from a different country. That's other. Part of that really deep-seated, ingrained part of our old psyche is still there, seeing them as threats. That's why we see why some see threats in people who are different in whatever way. And it really does get ridiculous because none of these people are threats as such. Men and women aren't threats to each other. People from different countries aren't threats to each other. People with different skin color aren't threats to each other. People with different religious beliefs aren't, by and large, threats to each other. Oh, but what about religious extremist terrorists? Yeah. Very, very small in number. If all of a particular religion were looking to wipe us out, they probably would have succeeded by now. It's a tiny portion. And again, that tiny portion of extremists are falling for this same problem of othering. They see everyone else as a threat, so they attempt to get rid of them. Whereas the vast majority of religious communities, they just want to get on with life. And it's the same through any area where we're looking to see people as different. Heck, you see it in stupid places like in sports, where you in football, for example, where you have morons, idiots, fighting each other, beating each other up because they support a different team. It's pathetic. Oh yes, have some friendly rivalry. But don't other each other to the point where you will break off communication with someone because they happen to support a different team, or you'll even fight each other. That is just utterly ridiculous. And it happens in so many different areas of life. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's why it's holding us back. It leads to things like the Salem witch trials, which were a massive problem at the time. Lots of innocent people murdered on the basis of rumors and suspicion and paranoia. But there's a bigger problem behind all of this. Imagine a house, for example. You've got walls. Those walls are amazing things. They're really strong. They hold the house up. They keep the outside out. They keep the inside in. They protect you. Brilliant things. But if you built your house from nothing but walls, you're going to have a problem. You've got no floor. You've got no roof. You've got no way in or out. You can't see out. All you've got is walls. To make a house, you need walls. You need floors. You need roof. You need windows. You need doors. And then we need all the different furnishing inside as well, and the plumbing and the electrical work to make a house livable. All of these different parts have their part to play, and they all have strengths and they all have weaknesses. Windows are great for seeing through and looking out. They don't generally make such good walls or floors or roofs, generally. A roof is great for keeping the rain out. Makes for a lousy window. A shower is great for washing us, not really so good for cooking on. Where are you going with that one? All sorts of different parts of the house. They're all made from different things, all with their own strengths and weaknesses. But it's by combining together, by uniting, by each bringing their strengths, that it becomes so much greater than the sum of its parts. The whole is much greater than the sum of its parts. And so it is for us as a human race. We're all different. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. Doesn't matter our gender, our sex, our race, our beliefs, our favorite team, what food we like, what color our hair is. what music we like. None of that ultimately really matters in the great scheme of things. We're all different. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. But when we combine together and don't look to find other and excommunicate them and barricade out anybody who's slightly different. But when we recognize each other's strengths, each other's differences, our strength lies in our differences. And by bringing all those differences together and building on using the strengths that we all bring, different strengths, we can build and grow and create something so much greater. In fact, that's going to sound like a grandiose claim here, but I fundamentally believe it's true. If we could all set aside those ridiculous differences and those ridiculous looking how everybody's different and othering each other, if instead we were to look at where we're the same and look at where we have strengths and all bring those strengths together, celebrate each other's strengths and differences, welcome them, and build together, unite and build together, I genuinely believe that could see the entire human species elevate to its next level of development. There is virtually no limit to what we could achieve if we work together instead of fighting each other, whether that's nations fighting, whether that's different religious factions fighting, whether that's teams fighting, whether that's neighbors fighting, whether it's having turf battles at work. Whatever it is, if we could just find a way to overcome this need to other everyone and recognize, you know, fundamentally, we're all doing the best we can with what we've got. If we can work together, unite, celebrate our differences, build on those strengths, well, we certainly wouldn't have the problems that we have today, that's for sure. Just a thought. Do we want more Salem witch trials? Or do we want to progress and become what we could truly become? And it does start with each and every one of us. And a lot of it does have to do with mastering our mindset. When we move out of this mindset of scarcity and looking for danger everywhere and seeing that everybody is out to get us, when we change from that to a mindset of abundance, of possibility, of creativity, of collaboration, of seeing the good and the strengths in each other and looking for ways in which we can all contribute, that is when we'll evolve to the next level. Now, yes, there will be some people who you may not necessarily want to, I don't know, put in charge of finances for various reasons. However, there are still things which they would be able to contribute. We all have something to contribute. Can you imagine what society would be like if we get rid of the barriers, get rid of the borders, get rid of the discrimination, get rid of this othering? Stop the witch trials. Stop trying to find ways to reduce the size of our groups, to divide our societies. And instead, work on our own mindsets. Work together. Celebrate each other's differences. And build something far greater than the whole. Imagine what that kind of society would look like. Just a thought. Anyway, that's the end of this, the first episode of Series 4. Hope you enjoyed it. Please do give us a like, a comment, a share, a subscribe. Give us a review. Rate it. Share it with your friends. And remember to tune in to the future episodes. New episode coming out each month, each week. Same time, each week. You'll find us on all of the usual places, all the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Grow Radio. It's also on my Patreon channel. And give us a like, comment, a share, a subscribe. And I'll catch you in the very next episode. Until then, take care, look after yourself. And remember, when you master your mindset, that's when you master your life. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.